passage, well known. In fact, we've used it quite a number of times, even with regard to the excuses. We're not going to read it just yet. I'm going to pray and ask for God's blessing on his word. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, again, as we turn to your living and active word, we pray that your spirit would carry this word with power and authority into our hearts and minds, into the hearts and minds of those, Lord, not only here, but those tuned in on Facebook or listening to the podcast. May you, Lord, please use your powerful word to prick consciences, Lord. May you use your word to tear down the arguments that people put in their mind against you. May you, Lord God, use it as a hammer to smash the strongholds of Satan in people's lives. May your word do its work. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Keith's excuse, I was saying at the start, Keith's excuse, which he covered, was, I don't believe in hell. And again, it's one of those things, we didn't just make up these excuses ourselves. These are excuses that we have come across through years of going around doing evangelism, talking to people about the Lord, and all of the different things that they say. And they nearly see the Christians coming and think, desperately, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And they come up with these excuses. But it's interesting that very often it's the same sort of excuse. So one was, I don't believe in hell. Well, would it surprise you to know that a lot of Christians actually struggle with the concept of hell and how a God of love can allow people to end up there? Well, maybe you'd be just as surprised to know that God will not, on the day of judgment, be sending anybody to hell. Now, I'm not suddenly turning a Catholic and heading down the south to meet the Pope next week so that I get less time in purgatory because I've taken into his doctrine that says there is no hell. It's not that. It's people will be in hell by their own choice, not by God's. And that's so important. You can get into the whole predestination thing, and I believe in predestination and election, but nonetheless, people will be in hell because they rejected Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Christian scholars, great theologians. I was saying this morning, that this, before we started the meeting, Billy had mentioned to me about a new Bible that is out. And if I hear anybody from Shiloh going to get it, you're getting excommunicated from Shiloh Christian Fellowship if you buy this Bible. But this new Bible, honestly, this new Bible that is going out onto the market, that is endorsed by great Christian theologians, comes with a packet of 5 whiteout pens or Tippex pens. And it says to you that as you read it and there's things you don't like, just Tippex it out, because it doesn't matter. Now, if I see anybody with that Bible in Shiloh, you're getting excommunicated. But great theologians, great Christian scholars dispute hell, seeking to find ways of reducing its awfulness and its horror by suggesting such doctrines such as, for example, annihilationism. That's a big flashy word that means you get snuffed out. What that basically means is that you stand before God on the day of judgment, and you're standing there in a physical body, as Keith was saying this morning. It's a physical resurrection. You will be standing in a physical body before God on the day of judgment, and then you are condemned already, and you're shown why you're being cast into hell, and then you are thrown into this lake of fire where you are burned up and you are gone for good, and that is burning forever. That's the doctrine of annihilationism. Now, what, for example, if after death there was only a heaven? Right? So that's annihilationism. What if when people die there was only a heaven? There was never going to be a hell. Do you still think more people would believe? If we ruled out hell and said, oh, you know, these people say I don't believe in hell. If we ruled that out and said, okay, there is no hell, like the Pope can change it on a weekly basis. There is no hell, there is no purgatory. And then he says, come down and visit me in the Black South and you will be able to spend less time in purgatory. I thought, but sure, you said a few weeks ago there is no purgatory. So how are we going to spend less time there? But anyway, what if there was only a heaven and no hell? Do you think more people would believe? You see, I would love, as a Christian, I would love to believe in annihilationism, as it's less horrific than a conscious state of eternal torment in a lake of fire or a place of darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what way you view hell, it's not a nice place. And the problem that Christians have with hell often lies in our inability to really understand the sinfulness of sin or to comprehend the justice of God. But according to the Bible, and that's the Christian's final authority, hell is a reality. It is the eternal abode of all who die impenitent, without forgiveness of sins. That is what God's word says. So this week I'm covering the excuse, I don't believe in heaven. And the singer-songwriter John Lennon wrote the song Imagine, which says, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. It goes on to say, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope one day you will join us and the world will be as one. What a load of old crap. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. But you may say, I'm a dreamer. But I'm not the only one. I hope one day you will join us and the world will be as one. Listen, I'm no fan of the Beatles and certainly never been of John Lennon. And if John was alive today, I'd be saying, dream on, John. You see, I don't want to imagine there's no heaven. Heaven is one of the greatest hopes of the Christian. What Christian doesn't hope for heaven? What Christian doesn't hope to see Jesus face to face? To have somebody like John Lennon coming around saying, imagine there isn't one. Try and get it into your head that there isn't one so that the whole world can be one as we think like this. Well, I don't want to. I've been hoping for heaven for 34 years and I know people who have been hoping that I would go to heaven for 34 years. But logically, if Christians believe in heaven, then they must also accept the reality of hell, whatever that might be. If Christians go to heaven when they die, unbelievers must inevitably go somewhere. So let me give you some reasons why people say they don't believe in heaven. People don't believe in heaven because they say there is no justice in it. And I can understand that argument. They say there's no way on this earth that I could believe in a heaven because there's no justice in the heaven. How can a person who murders people repent and go to heaven? While a nice person who doesn't believe in God yet never harms anyone can go to hell. Good point. People don't believe in heaven because they say, how could a God of justice allow murderers, pedophiles, and every type of evil person imaginable into heaven? I often think when the people who give you that excuse, if you said to them, well, if there is a heaven and God allowed people like yourself to get in, well, sure, that would be okay then, wouldn't it? And they'll all say, oh, aye. But the reality is, human beings are not in a position to tell God whom he can or cannot allow into his heaven. Here's a question that we often ask when we go out in the doors, an evangelism explosion question, and it's a powerful question. And it's this. When you ask someone and you're out there and you ask someone, Do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe in heaven and hell? Well, I'm not sure. You ask them this question. If there is a heaven, and you were to die tonight, and God said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? Now, I want you to think about that tonight, people here and people tuned in. If God was to say to you tonight, why should I let you into my heaven? See if you don't give the right answer. You already know you ain't going. If you cannot give the right answer to that question, why should I allow you into my heaven? You're not going. Because there only is one answer. And that answer is Jesus. People don't believe in heaven because they say it's what we make of this life that matters. And this view suggests that there's nothing after this life, that we die and that's just the end of it. And George Clooney, the actor, said, I don't believe in heaven or hell. All I know is that as an individual, I won't allow this life, the only thing I know to exist, to be wasted. What an incredible statement to make from somebody like George Clooney. He says, I don't believe in heaven or hell. All I know is that as an individual, I won't allow this life, because this life is the only one that matters, that's what people say. This life, the only thing I know to exist, I won't allow it to be wasted. Is that what you believe tonight? Would heaven, in fact, would hell not be a waste of an eternal life? Heaven if you didn't get there. Hell if you end up there. Is that what you believe? People say they don't believe in heaven and hell because heaven and hell are myths made up to scare us to live properly and to live subject to the authorities. Well, I'll ask, has not believing in heaven or hell made you live right? Has it enabled you to just live as you please? Or has it made you any less subject to the governing authorities? The last one that I'll say at the moment is this. People don't believe in heaven and hell because the idea, they say, the idea of heaven or the idea of hell are just imaginary things to try to explain what we just don't know. And that is exactly why I believe John Lennon wrote, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Because he just didn't know. The physicist Albert Einstein said this, just because you don't believe in something doesn't mean it isn't true. Do you hear that? Just because you don't believe in something doesn't mean it isn't true. As I've said a few weeks ago, if you want to know the truth about something, what do? Check the evidence. And so, can I assume again, and within these excuses we've made a lot of assumptions, but can I assume that the people who say, I don't believe in heaven, have checked whatever evidence there is about the subject? They've checked all the evidence and they've come to this conclusion, I don't believe in heaven. Just saying, I don't believe in something doesn't mean it isn't true. Nor does saying, I believe in something make it any more real without checking the evidence. Can anyone be sure if there is a heaven and a hell? Has anyone ever come back to tell us? Once again, we emphasize here in Shiloh that the Bible is the final authority for the Christian on all matters pertaining to God, to life, and to eternity. Now you might say, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, I can say, hello, there is such a thing, because I have one. You can shout all you want and say, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, look, I've got one. And a whole lot of other Christians have got a Bible as well. And then you might respond and say, I mean, I don't believe what the Bible says. To which I would respond, well, I assume that you've read it, that you've studied it, and that you're aware of all of its content before you've made up your mind. What's the bets, and I'm not a gambling man, but what's the bets that the people who say, I don't believe in the Bible, or I don't believe what the Bible says, have never read it? They haven't got a baldy of what it actually contains. They think they know what it contains, but they haven't got a clue. If you want to know the truth about things, you check the evidence. For the Christian, the Bible is the key piece of evidence on the subject of heaven and hell. So what does the Bible, what does God's word say on the subject? And I'm going to keep this really, really simple. And I know we could go into real in-depth stuff here about heaven and what the Bible actually speaks about heaven. But I'm just going to keep it really, really simple tonight. Firstly, it says this. The Bible tells us that heaven is where God dwells. Okay? Jesus taught his disciples to pray, beginning with the words, Our Father in heaven. Jimmy and I were just discussing this at the start of the meeting. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He didn't say, Our Father in Omicron Persei 8. Anybody else know that's a planet from Futurama? He didn't say Omicron Persei 8. He said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Secondly, in John 17, when Jesus is praying, Jesus taught that he was with the Father before the worlds were made. So if the Father, as Jesus said, is in heaven, where do you think Jesus was before the worlds were made? In heaven, with the Father. So the Father dwells in heaven. Jesus was dwelling in heaven with the Father. And then thirdly, the Bible teaches us that Jesus left heaven and he came to this earth to tell us all about heaven and of his Father's love for us. And fourthly, when Jesus taught his disciples about heaven, he told them a number of very simple things. Truths. And I want us to look at those simple truths tonight. And they are so simple, so don't be offended by what I have to say. Let's read in John chapter 14. Jesus speaking says these words, John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus describes heaven as his Father's house. It is where God dwells. In my Father's house. He has already said, Our Father in heaven, in my Father's house. He then says, it is also a specific place. I go to prepare a place for you. I know people who are thick enough to think that when Jesus was saying to his disciples, I'm heading off here, guys, to prepare a place for you, that he donned on the patch thing that has all the nails and the hammer and he got the wood and he's up there making mansions in heaven. You know, that he's up there like constructing for the last 2,000 years. That's not what Jesus meant when he says, I go to prepare a place. It means I'm leaving planet Earth now to go back to heaven, and I'm preparing the way for you to come to that place. It is a specific place where Jesus has prepared for those who believe in him. It's where Jesus is and where he wants those who believe in him to be. It's not complicated. And finally, Jesus teaches the way to get there. So we've got about heaven, that it is where his Father dwells. It is where God dwells. It is a specific place that Jesus has prepared for those who love him. It's the place where Jesus is and where he wants those who believe in him to one day be. And finally, Jesus teaches how we get to there. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father in heaven except through me. Do you know there are many, many more references in the Bible about heaven and what it's like? But the reality is this, that I could stand here for hours rhyming off all of these verses about heaven. But the reality is this, it boils down to one question. Do you believe Jesus? When he says, in my Father's house, that's heaven, our Father who art in heaven. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to open up access for you to get there. And that I'm going to come back one day and get you so that where I am, you can be there with me. How are you going to get there? Through me, because I am the way. Do you believe Jesus? Now, if your answer is, yes, I believe, does your belief cause you to trust in Jesus? And if you believe what Jesus says, you must accept then that there is a heaven. And if you believe there's a heaven, have you accepted that Jesus is the only way to get there? There is no other way. Without trusting in Jesus, you will never reach heaven, because he is the only way to it. So Christian, you know, because of your faith in Jesus, you have his promise that one day you shall be with him in heaven. Those who walk humbly before the Lord, serving him in faithful obedience, will on the last day hear these words from Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And so, Christian, you shall be forever with the Lord. But maybe tonight you're here, or you're tuned in through Facebook or the podcast, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, I have to tell you, because you do not have faith in Jesus, because you do not have trust in Jesus, you do not have his promise that one day you will be with him in heaven. It's that simple. It's not complicated. Because you have not trusted in Jesus, you're not going to heaven. And if you're not going to heaven, it only leaves the alternative. That is the only other place that you can go. Because you do not have faith in Jesus, you do not have his promise that one day you shall be with him in heaven. Unless you confess your sin, unless you agree with God and what God says, that you are a sinner, unless you admit that before God and repent, that means turn around from living your life your way and believing the nonsense that you believe and trust in Jesus, you will never enter heaven. Do not fool yourself into thinking that you're going to get there any other way. It's not possible. On the last day, on the day of judgment, unless you repent and put your trust in Jesus, the words that you will hear from Jesus himself are these: depart from me into everlasting destruction, for I never knew you. Scary, scary words. The most scariest words in the Bible are these: depart from me into everlasting destruction, for I never knew you. Let me say again to those who make the excuse, I don't believe in heaven, that just because you say you don't believe in something doesn't mean it isn't true. Heaven and hell are real. You will end up in one or the other. Only those who trust in Jesus are promised heaven. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we're faced again with a choice, heaven or hell. And tonight, Lord God, you have pointed us to Jesus. You have shown us that the only way that anyone can get to be where you are and you dwell in heaven, the only way that any person, Lord God, can get to heaven is through Jesus, through faith in him. He is the only way. And all of us, Lord God, are faced with a choice. Do we believe Jesus or do we not? For those who do and those who act upon that belief, those who realize that it's true and live accordingly, they have that promise that one day they shall be with the Lord. Those who do not believe in Jesus do not have the promise of heaven. But they are warned, unless you repent, you will perish. And you will hear the words from the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of judgment, depart from me into everlasting destruction, for I never knew you. But tonight, Father, we thank you that that does not have to be the reality for anyone. Because your word says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we pray tonight that people here, people tuned into Facebook, people listening to the podcast will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Set me free, the God of heaven.